Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I feel good about the character of people. You know, I feel good about Zach as a person and his commitment to trying to figure out, you know, how he can lead a team and lead an organization. Vooch has had some experience in the playoffs with Orlando. He's a great guy, totally open-minded to whatever he needed to do to help our group. It's unfortunate Troy couldn't be more of a part of it because I thought he was actually doing a pretty good job before the ankle sprain. It was good that, you know, Javonte kind of came in and, you know, gave us a little bit of a spark there towards the end of the season. It was good to see him get some extra minutes. Tice gave us some good minutes, you know, although he, you know, went out and was dealing with that, hip issue. In small pieces, you know, I saw a lot of positivity. It was just that it was just small pieces. It wasn't enough.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
I think that's mostly a fair characterization from Billy Donovan as the Bulls season ends without a playoff appearance. But I'll say what he can't, or I guess won't. He could. They wouldn't fire him for it. The season was a disappointment. When you trade for an all-star in a year where 10 teams get to play extra games, and you're not one of the 10 teams in the Eastern Conference, when you've acquired now two all-star caliber players, that's a disappointing season, yes?
Absolutely.
There can be measures of progress. There can be things that were good, right? I think that Billy Donovan is an upgrade from Jim Boylan. I think Zach LaVine taking a leap was hugely positive. Karnaschovas and Eversley coming in and pushing Pax to the side and Gar Foreman out of the picture entirely is a welcome change. It's refreshing. They're more transparent. All of those things can be true.
For sure.
But the 2021 Bulls season was a disappointment.
Yeah, and the thing is, we had a really low bar in terms of success going in. We knew it was going to be a year of development and talked about all of that, and there has been some development for some key pieces. At the end of the year, you say to yourself, you know what? Kobe White actually showed me a little something. It came really, really late, but he showed me a little something. Patrick Williams showed us a lot. You know, there's still some more that he has to do. Lauri Markkanen did not, but at least you know. Zach LaVine established himself in full. So, like, a lot of things happened that way, and that should feel like enough, but they went for it, man. They went for it, not just for the future, but for now. They decided, and a lot of us agreed, I know I did, that keeping Thaddeus Young and playing him instead of trading him was a good idea for development and experience. They decided that after making that trade, trying to make the playoffs and not tank for a pick was better in terms of development and building your identity. So all of those things should feel good. But then they didn't play well, and they don't even make a 10-team playoff field, and it does feel like a disappointment.
And so it leaves us to, well, now what? You're going to make Zach LaVine a max offer. He's not going to accept it because you can make him a much bigger max offer after next season, which he will likely accept from the Bulls. That is how that is going to play out. You acquired Vucevic. He's 30. Still really good. He's 30. The window with him as an all-star caliber player is not limitless. On Saturday, Patrick Williams had 24 points. And after the game, he said, "This is the player they want me to be. It's not natural for me to go out and be aggressive, but this is who I got to be in order to be the player that I want to be in this league, so I'm up for the challenge." And when Casey Johnson shared that quote, I retweeted it and I said, This is the key to the Bulls' future.
Yeah, I know. And you've been talking about that because that could potentially be your third star. Super cheap and homegrown for a good long while. And if he develops into what you think he could, then the ceiling goes up.
And a two-way player.
Yes.
Right? Like he's guarded Kawhi this year. He's guarded LeBron this year. He's guarded Giannis this year. Like he is a wing who plays on both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. And when your other two top guys are minuses defensively in LaVine and Vooch,
yeah,
you need your third piece to be plus defensively. Or else, or you could be the Nets, where Kyrie, Durant, and Harden, you know, Durant actually is pretty good defensively, but like none of them, they're all known for offense, but they're top 10 offensive players, all of them in the league, and so it makes up for it.
But more realistically, you need one of them to be as defensively active, willing, and good as Klay Thompson or Draymond Green.
Yeah, you need two-way players.
Yeah.
You know, the vast majority of these teams that have championship... Kawhi, Giannis, LeBron, Anthony Davis. These are two-way, Paul George. These are two-way basketball players. Mm-hmm. And so Patrick Williams has a shot to be a two-way basketball player.
Can I say how much I like that Patrick Williams at this tender young age is comfortable with the awareness of all of this by the end of the season and saying, I need to be more aggressive. That's the guy I need to be. And it's not, he doesn't need to be told anymore. Doesn't need to be told that anymore. He's fully taken it in and realizes it. It's a big ask to ask somebody to be that more aggressive, more of an alpha scorer in that way. But he's young enough to learn it, that's for sure.
Remember at the start of the year, he was the youngest player in the NBA. Oklahoma City acquired someone midseason that actually is, I think, like days or weeks younger than him. So I think now he might actually be the second youngest player in the NBA. But he's basically the youngest dude in the league. And this is what I thought was actually pretty interesting about that, is that I think it's really easy for people like you or me to say, right? But will the team say that about a player? Here's your guy, Thad Young. Casey Johnson has the quote. I think we have the pieces. We just need Pat to take his game to the next level. That is the veteran leader of the team saying, and I'm not reading that quote because I've been saying that all season about Patrick Williams or since
a little bit.
A little bit, sure. You know I like being right. But that is arguably the most respected dude in the locker room.
Saying it out loud.
Saying it out loud about a 19-year-old. Hey, man, if this group is going to win anything of consequence, you have to hit your ceiling.
Yeah.
Or, well, he says take that next level. I am co-opting it to say hit the ceiling. But, like, you have to take a leap soon. You got to be like Jason Tatum. You know, like, you got to be year after year after year immediately and a stud at 21.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of guys, look at Julius Randle. Julius Randle comes into the league at 18.
Took him a long time.
Stud at 26. Which is totally fine. Julius Randle will make $200 million-something in his career, all-star, four-seed. But if it takes Patrick Williams as long as it's taken Julius Randle...
Then the Bulls will probably miss a window.
It will not be... I mean, Vooch will not be relevant. And Zach LaVine will have lost a lot of his athleticism.
And it may not be here.
Right. And then you'll be coming up on a time of paying him, and the other guys might be gone, and it won't line up. So... I love that Thad Young said it. Yes, I'll admit, partly because it agrees with me.
I'm just kidding you with that.
But it's true,
man. Of course, and I love that he's saying it because the thing is, you know, that he's said it privately a ton of times to Pat because Pat's out there saying it himself now.
Yeah.
So you know these conversations have happened not just from the coach, but from the veteran leader right to Patrick Williams.
Yes, absolutely. And so now, what do you think? Like, do you think it's in play?
I think it's in play. I was in a position to watch some of that game on Saturday. Didn't need to, but I was in a position to watch some of that game on Saturday at having pizza at Paisano's there in the South Loop while the game was on.
Nice.
And, I mean, everything was there on display. He has very comfortable floaters in the lane from an array of trajectories. He's a terrific leaper. And offensive rebounder, where some putback points will get available. He's a developing outside shooter. He can take it off the dribble and attack his man. He can even, a little bit, post up in a mismatch. Like, there's a lot of offensive skills there, and he just needs the green light and the aggression to do it. So, yeah, that's why, you know, people will point out all year long, huh, you guys like Patrick Williams. Look at these numbers from Emmanuel Quickly or from Tyrese Halliburton or whoever.
He didn't even make the Rising Stars game at the All-Star game.
Yeah, right? And it's like, well, it's number four pick in the league and you're happy about him. Look at these. Well, yeah, but it's all there. It is absolutely there. And the way that he thinks about the game and attacks the game and tries to get better at everything. Remember, LeBron likened him to Kawhi because of the hands and because of that clear work ethic and the way that he goes about his business.
The work ethic is the thing that makes me believe that it's possible. It seems like a huge ask to be like, can Patrick Williams be an all-star caliber player in 2 years? That seems like a gargantuan leap from where he is now and just how talented the league is. But he might be one of those crazy... He might be Jimmy Butler. Like, he might have that Jimmy Butler gene, that Kawhi Leonard gene.
Yeah.
He is going to work 3 workout sessions a day all off season. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And come back a totally different player year over year. And if he does that, he can be a star. Because I do think he has the athleticism and the skill set. And it's going to be that part that is going to be the key for the Bulls.
I totally agree. And they can see it all on display. And he was the youngest player in the NBA.
Right.
You know, texture saying Williams was overdrafted. Right now he was overdrafted. And it's like, no, remember this year going into it, it didn't matter that much in terms of the finish. And there was a lot of other guys to give shots to and to take shots to and worry about their developments. I don't look at him and say he was overdrafted right now.
Well, no. Right. Remember, it was a 3-player draft and they had the 4th pick. There was a consensus on the top 3 guys, and I think if 10 teams had the 4th pick, 6 different dudes would have went 4th overall. Whereas I think any combination of teams would have taken the top 3 guys most likely in the order that they went. Right? LaMelo was going where he was going, Weissman was going where he was going, Edwards was going where he was going most likely. Maybe Edwards goes 2 in some scenarios. But like those were the top 3 guys. And so I think we've got. And then when you draft the youngest dude out of all of them, he's going to be behind some of the other more experienced rookies who played sooner and all that sort of thing. But here's what Arturis said today in his exit interview about Patrick Williams and his season.
Regarding Patrick, I think we're very excited for him. He's been through a ton this year. Learning experience, 19 years old. I don't think there's a player on the team that wasn't asked to do more than Patrick. I think he guarded always the best player on the other team. And defensively, he was actually switching and playing different coverages, in different positions. You know, when you do pick and roll coverages as a primary defender and then as a big defender. So there was a lot of flying at him. I think is a very unique case in my mind. A player usually, you know, I think I brought it up before, but usually when you get a young player, you build his arsenal, you know, you add certain things to his skill set. But Pat has a lot of those skills. He's just when he's going to choose to use them, you know, and we saw glimpses in, you know, even Brooklyn game. Lately, you know, what this kid can do. So I think it's sky's the limit for him. He's going to have a summer for the first time. He knows again what he needs to work on. And, you know, I'm looking forward to see his growth. But again, you know, he came in a situation where winning is important besides the development piece. And, you know, all that pressure that he was facing this year, I think, will benefit him.
It's fascinating. I mean, the fact that a 19-year-old was guarding the other team's best wing player every game,
love it,
is a huge part of this. And then it's, can he get it? It's the biggest story. LaVine says he's going to add more to his game. What player does Patrick Williams show up as day one next season? Is next year's team a 7 or an 8 seed? Or could they possibly be like this year's Knicks?
I'm going to seek out that Arturis later and listen to all of it. Just because I love the way that he thinks about the game, the way that he thinks about development. I love that this has all been by design, starting Patrick Williams, asking him to do all of this, because if he failed, okay, then you learn. If he can't guard somebody, okay, then you learn. If he doesn't want to, then you learn, and you figure out what you need to motivate him with. Like, talk about learning as much as you can about your guys by the end of the year. Do you know enough about Lauri Markkanen to let him walk away? I feel like I do. I think they feel like they do. Do you know enough about Coby White to keep investing in him here? I feel like I do. Again, it took a long time, but his attitude and work ethic and the way he responded to everything that's been thrown at him, and his the ability to mesh with Vucevic that he did towards the end of the year, yeah, I feel like I've learned about him, and I feel like I learned a tremendous amount about Patrick Williams. Who else did you want to learn about? Some of the trade guys that have come here. Troy Brown, feel like you learned about him a little bit?
Well, they got to make a decision on how many guys they want to keep, or if they want to try to free up some cap space and try to go out and get another more high-end guy. My guess is the team is not going to look that different for next year. There will be some changeover, but my guess is Thad Young is here, and they try to figure out a way with Tyson that this – they're going to do this based on practice, summer together, improvement,
yeah,
and a step forward. Now, if they get lucky in the lottery and get a top four pick, that would change some things, because they get to keep it if they 20% chance roughly
right.
And they hurt themselves last night with that win, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. Very they did. I have the numbers for you on that.
26% down to 20%,
yeah.
Roughly, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of brutal that they did it. I mean, I know you were there, but yeah, there was a 26% chance to land a top four pick and a 6% chance at number one. Now with the win, they're 20.3 for a top four pick and only 4.5% chance to land the one.
But it's frustrating.
But do you agree that in terms of learning about the people you needed to learn about, Donovan and AK and Eversley have done a nice job of engineering the process so you know more by now?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know,
as best you can, because some guys are young and they need to develop and mature.
Yeah, and they compacted season, right, with basically no practice days.
Mm-hmm.
They change over five pieces at the trade deadline, including bringing in an all-star, and they go for it to try to win, and then LaVine gets COVID and has to sit, and they have that big losing streak, and it felt like that's why it feels like a disappointment. Did I learn more about the young guys? Yeah, but based on the trade deadline, I wanted to take more from the season than learning about the young guys. They're better than the Pacers. Like they should be in this thing.
You're telling me
that they can't be with the Hornets and Washington. Come on,
that's why it's a disappointment.
It's a disappointment.
Absolutely. And I know Thad and Garrett Temple were asked, like, can you guys believe you're not at the top 10? They're like, no, I don't know.
They're better than the Pacers.
They know they are.
Yeah, they should be in. Now, Washington with what Russ did is a maybe a unicorn type of situation.
And Beal, the two of them attacked the second half of the year and got there.
We'll just play a little bit more here. I know you said you wanted to hear the whole thing, but
I just mean on my own time.
No,
I wouldn't subject the listeners to all of it.
No. We're gonna play a little bit here. The Arturas on his disappointment for this season, like some big picture stuff from Arturas.
It was a blessing to work with Billy this year, especially during these challenging times. Once we take some time off, Mark, Billy, and I will get together and we'll evaluate and try to analyze the season and formulate a plan. At this point in time, I cannot tell you what the plan is going to look like, but I can tell you that we'll look at every possible way to improve the team. Well, I'm optimistic because I know that each player is disappointed with the season, and I want them to go into off season feeling that way and remember what it feels like. And again, to figure out the ways that it doesn't happen again. And we're going to do that collectively. You know, from our side, we're going to see to add talent to our roster, and from them to get better and come back, you know, improved and better. And so we don't have to sit out another, you know, postseason. You know, I don't like to watch now postseason games just because, you know, I'm not happy that we're not in it. So I'm a competitive guy. So, but talking to all the players, they're disappointed, we're disappointed, and you know, going into a season that, you know, to make sure that doesn't happen again.
I like hearing him talk. I'd like to have him on. I'd like to pick his brain on the basketball stuff, but he's, you know, they're in an interesting spot, man. I'll be fascinated to see if I'm right. And like how, cause he shocked me at the deadline. Like he was super aggressive in changing over the team. And so I would think that he's going to pause on that a little bit and kind of tinker more with the team as opposed to take another big swing with an overhaul, right? I think Lowry's gone, and then I think some of the more supporting guys are back, and he adds a minor piece or two this offseason. I'd love it if he had the money for LaMelo. We'll see if he can fall into their price point. But I think that a lot of what's going to be is their offseason plan, Vooch and LaVine blending, and hopefully Patrick Williams taking the next step.
I'd like to congratulate Cristiano Felicio on finishing up his, I believe it's a 4-year, $54 million contract.
I thought he was only 432. I thought he was eight a year. Yeah. Don't put an extra $20 million in that man's pocket.
I thought it was more, but
432.
Ah, eight. Damn it. All right.
Don't come
well,
at me with contract knowledge, my
all
friend.
All right, good. All right, I'm glad he didn't get that extra 22. Then I really would have been disappointed in his career.
Two of the ball boys, by the way, of the four who were in the half court contest last night, because that was the big halftime entertainment at the Bulls Bucks game last night, which featured like seven D League players. They all had to list their favorite player. Two of the four, Cristiano Felicio. Do you think that means he's just really nice to ball boys?
I think so.
Right?
Do you know how much money Cristiano Felicio made per point in his this 10-year of what it was, 4 years? The contract, the giant contract he got.
Yeah.
So $32 million divided by number of points scored.
Per point.
Yeah. I don't know the answer.
Probably
to that.
Did well.
It's like $30,000.
Oh, so you don't have the answer.
Well, I saw it today. I just can't remember if it's $30,000 or $3,000.
That's all right. You know, your options were that or just quote the numbers wrong, like I did. You know, you got options on this show.
That was the ishiest moment of this new show. The old version was a very ishy show, but you asked a trivia question that you did not have the answer to. I like that.
All right. I have a trivia question.
I was asking you straight up. Do you know how much we got per point?
You were genuinely curious. Okay.
I have a trivia question. Four NBA players, Danny, have multiple MVPs, championships, and scoring titles. So that's two or more MVPs.
Two or more championships.
Two or more
scoring
and
titles.
And two or more scoring titles. Only four guys in the history of the league.
Okay. Do I get the break? Or I mean, I got two immediately.
Take the break.
All right, I got two immediately.
Four NBA players with multiple ships, multiple MVPs, and multiple scoring titles.
Before you break.
Yeah.
$48,706.24 per point. That is 4-year, $32 million contract.
That's a good answer, and it's even more than like 30 grand.
I had a friend who dated him for a little while. Apparently a very nice guy.
See? Yeah. That's why the ball boys and Shane's friend, both big fans. I bet he tipped the ball boys very well.
That would
at the end
have
of a game.
To.
Hey, good job, guys. Here you go. Here's a hundo.
Be great.
Man, that dude, Felicio, that's why he's my favorite player.
I saw it on the big screen. I was like, that is the most ridiculous thing. Two of the four.
I love that you committed that to memory. You came in. You know what I'm going to talk about today?
I know.
It just came up.
You mentioned Felicio.
It stayed there. It's internalized.
We had a conversation about it last night at the game. Like, how do you think it happens that, like, one guy says Zach LaVine, one guy says Kobe White, and the other two are Cristiano Felicio? That can't be a coincidence. Yeah, no. He's got to tip That's these not. Guys very, very
I can see
well.
Cristiano saying, you know who I need to like me is the ball boys.
Yeah.
I need to get those guys on my side.
I need some friends around here. All right, the answer to your trivia question, and I think we can make you laugh and cry around the same story. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
I used to always avoid praising my husband in public because I felt like he got enough praise from his fans around the world, and someone had to bring him back to reality. Right now, I'm sure he's laughing in heaven because I'm about to praise him in public for his accomplishments on one of the most public stages. I can see him now, arms folded, with a huge grin saying, isn't this some
I DVR'd it, watched it in its entirety. She did a great job. But Kobe Bryant, that's Vanessa Bryant on Kobe at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony this weekend, in case you did not check it out. Kobe Bryant, not one of the answers to your trivia question. Ask the question again, because it took me a minute to get the fourth one, but I got it, so go ahead.
Four NBA players in history have multiple MVPs, multiple championships, and multiple scoring titles. So two or more MVPs, two or more titles, two or more scoring titles.
I knew that Steph Curry was the reason for the question because he clinched the scoring title, and obviously he has the MVPs and the championships.
How about Steph Curry in a year where a lot of people expected him to have reduced production with no help in a crowded West? Dude's game is just unbelievable. So, yeah, Steph Curry is one of the answers.
Steph Curry was one. Obviously, Michael Jordan would be one for anything scoring. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar certainly checks all the boxes.
Multiple MVPs, multiple scoring titles, yes, and multiple team titles for sure. Kareem.
And then Wilt Chamberlain is the fourth.
When in doubt, guess Wilt Chamberlain.
Which is what I told you. It has to be one of the old centers because I was like, okay, not Duncan. Kobe only has the one MVP. Nash didn't score enough. LeBron doesn't score enough in a single season. He's got it cumulatively, but not a scoring title guy.
Durant only has one MVP.
Durant only has the one MVP. And then, so I had to go back to the centers, and it was Wilt.
Yeah.
What about one of the other NBA Elijahs, Hakeem Olajuwon one?
No, not
it's
Hakeem.
Close. It's close.
Not Hakeem. Surprise, no Larry Bird. No two scoring titles for Larry Bird.
No two scoring. There you
I
go.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I would think. But yeah, so there it is. Jordan, Steph Curry, Wilt, and Kareem.
It's a good list.
Good list for a 33-year-old, you know. It used to say whisper thin point guard, but he's not whisper thin anymore. Dude is bulked up so his body can handle the abuse. He's a remarkable player.
And Texter says, man, that's right. It still blows my mind every time I'm reminded that Kobe only won the one MVP. Yeah. Great career. Nash got two. Duncan got a couple. But it was just, it was a weird run where he was, you know, with Shaq getting overshadowed a little bit on his own team, right? Wins five titles, but only the two finals MVPs. So, they had two of the five best players in the league, but for a while, Shaq was technically a little bit above him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a weird career in that way for the MVPs.
Dirk had an MVP in there.
Yep.
You mentioned Nash with a couple. KG with an MVP.
Yeah. It's a great era.
Did you read that story that came out about KG and the finger sleeves? Did you read that story?
No.
Oh, my God. That he didn't have a finger sleeve for one of the playoff games. And it was like, it was quiet in the locker room for like 30 minutes, which is unheard of because KG was just steaming and was like, how am I going to survive without my beloved finger sleeves? And one of the dudes, the equipment guy called Minnesota, had the custodian grab a finger sleeve out of his locker. Sam Cassell's friend drove it to the airport, a Delta pilot that was going to Memphis brought it with him. A driver picked it to the airport and brought it to the pyramid in Memphis to give it to Kevin Garnett.
I like it.
The equipment guy was waiting in the parking lot 30 minutes before tip-off. KG had 10 hot packs on his body. He gave him the finger sleeves. The first play of the game, he does a step back on Pau Gasol and swishes it, backpedals the whole way down the court, pounding his chest, pointing at the equipment guy like, you got me, man. You did it. You got me the finger sleeve. And he had 26 points, got 9 rebounds, blocked 2 shots, and they won by 17.
You guys have to read his book after I'm done with it. I've been picking it apart like a chapter a night when I'm going to sleep, KG A to Z.
Really?
Yeah, his stories are unbelievable.
Oh, man.
That doesn't surprise me.
There was another one about his relationship with the Irvin family that came out this weekend. Mac Irvin, Nick Irvin of the Mac Irvin Fire, the AAU team in Chicago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He just, I'm not a big sports book reader, but I would read this again as soon as I'm done with it.
Wow. That's a hell of an endorsement.
Yeah, it
okay.
is.
Okay. Well, I'll take it when you're done.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds.
Maybe a couple of years.
You should read it a chapter a night. Are you a read before bed guy?
Yeah. I've been trying to become a read before bed guy because I was just watching Impractical Jokers every night or just watching TikToks. So now I'm trying to move over to books.
That's a real upgrade for you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I had this stack of books on one of my nightstands that basically for like a year went untouched.
Oh,
it was
king.
Just to impress girls.
I wasn't even impressing girls. I just wanted to impress myself, I guess. I have the coolest stack of books ever unread on the bedside table.
That's good though, man. I say I'm going to do it. Get off your phone, turn off your TV, get the blue light out of your life, read a book for 20, 30 minutes before bed. I never do.
It's great. It's freeing.
I should do it.
I was recommended a book called The Outfits. It's a history of the Chicago mob. Right as the pandemic started, I was like, all right, I'm going to do some reading here. And then I opened up one page and I was like, Daddy, can we go to the aquarium yet? No, we can't. So it's been that every day. I have not been able to read much of it. Maybe this year.
Every year it's a New Year's resolution.
Next pandemic.
Read more books. And I'm reading a book right now. I'm like 600 pages in, but it's taken me 4 months.
The Bible? I can't think of any other books longer than
the Obama book. It's way too long.
Yikes. No, that guy.
It's a playbook. It's a playbook. Like Juan Castillo. Yeah. He likes to read playbooks.
I don't need this book, man. I've been doing all this stuff.
I don't need the book. I've been doing stuff. Great Juan Castillo. I want that guy on the show.
I don't want to make predictions, but I would not be surprised if this kid made the Pro Bowl next year.
Uh-oh.
Why not, right, Mark?
Yeah, why not?
Hey, you know what? Everything is possible, as we know, Mark, right?
I mean,
In my pursuit for Juan Castillo, it seems as though he gets the Lupinella Marquee treatment where they're not like, they don't really know what he's going to say, so they don't really put him on live anywhere. Like, they take their chances maybe four times a year in those Zooms.
Yeah.
No go on Juan Castillo.
All right.
We'll just go to dinner with him one day.
Yeah. How about Frank Menachino?
Same thing.
We don't get Frank Menachino either.
We know who the good guests would be,
and they don't want to
give us the good guests.
Yeah, we'll get Daz Newsome, and I think Daz Newsome will be a ton of fun.
I'm looking forward to Daz Newsome. But you can't put Frank Menachino on the air. He might besmirch the home run. Yeah, he might do that.
Congratulations to Chris Tannehill, by the way.
We're not talking about this.
Yeah, we are. If we're going to talk
about it. Go ahead, blur me out on the Zoom again, Shane.
We're going to talk about your softball team. You're no longer in first place in the 670 The Score home run pool.
Oh, I saw that.
Tanny has overtaken you.
The home run.
He's in first place with that as his mantra and his team slogan.
Aaron Judge, right? It's doing okay.
Yes, Aaron Judge is a pretty good pick for me all the way. Six I drafted? Yeah, that's not bad. And the other guy, Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, see, that's a very nice pick. Yordan Alvarez was a little...
High risk, though. High risk, high reward, though. It's the way I always say.
I feel good. I feel good about my guys. I'm still in second place, right, after leading for a while. Nelson Cruz and Franmil Reyes. Beast.
What's going wrong with Juan Soto? Does he stink? Trevor Story? I had a good team. I mean, it's like last place.
Yeah, you had a good team, but not, you know, in a home run pool. It's a good team in, like, you know.
Baseball?
Cool baseball players I'd like to have.
Those guys hit home runs.
Yeah,
one of them plays in Colorado. They hit a lot of home runs there.
Yeah, well,
there are guys that's all they do is hit home runs, and these are the guys that Spiegel and I went after, and he just went for really great players, which is fine.
Sure.
All right.
You know,
I got 7 combined home runs from Soto and Story.
That's a high number, Danny. I have 2.
Well,
from a hurt Cody Bellinger who has none.
That's not your fault.
That's not my fault. Gleyber Torres, who's having an all-time powerless year,
dude,
for him.
His slugging percentage and his OPS, his hard hit rate, bad.
They call him the Jake Lamb of the New York Yankees. Absolute trash. And then I subbed in the Yerminator for Cody Bellinger when he went down, and I think he's gotten me my. I think he's got one.
Yeah,
Gleyber's got one, and Yermin's got one.
You're drunk on Yermin love. I love Yermin as a hitter, but he's not.
Tried to ride the wave.
Mm-hmm. He's all too willing. See, that's what Tanny's saying. Yermin is all too willing. Singles, he loves them, thinks they're cool. And I like them too. But you need guys who only want to hit home runs. That's all they're interested in doing.
All right, we're going to make you cry and laugh next on The Score.
Hey, Jack, I know growing up in the L.A. area, you grew up a big Kobe fan. I know he got inducted last night. How was it, you know, growing up as a young man, checking out the Big Mamba?
Oh, that's A-Rod. Always has a pulse of the people, you know, asking about the Big Mamba to Jack Flaherty.
Checking out the Big Mamba.
Jack Flaherty grew up in California, Harvard Westlake High.
Hey, Jack, I know growing up in the L.A. area, you grew up a big Kobe fan. I know he got inducted last night. How was it, you know, growing up as a young man, checking out the Big Mamba?
Is it bad when an NBA owner doesn't know that it's Black Mamba and not the Big Mamba?
It's not great. The billions of capital help. But
checking out the Big Mamba. Speaking of windows, I'm assuming you're a Steeler fan.
That's exactly what I thought of, was just the thorough non sequitur.
He's just so relatable.
Speaking of windows.
So conversational.
Is he the owner of the Timberwolves?
Yes, he is the owner of the Timberwolves.
The bid was approved
last week.
There's
no way to know.
Yeah. No. There's plenty of ways to know.
There is a way to know. He owns the Lynx as well.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, he bought both.
Someone has to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
25th anniversary of the WNBA, by the way, your thoughts?
Oh, you know what? Candace Parker, it's a hell of a player. Diamond to Shields, also a hell of a player. I want to go to Wintrust Arena and catch a game. Those are my thoughts.
Vanessa Bryant inducted Kobe into the Basketball Hall of Fame last night. And the end of her speech, so he wins the Oscar for Dear Basketball, right? The short film. She ends her speech with a letter to Dear Kobe.
Usually people thank everyone that has helped them get here. But since I don't have Kobe's specific list, I want to thank my husband. He did the work. He broke those records. And he inspired people to be great. I want to thank him for somehow finding ways to dedicate time to not only being an incredible athlete, a visionary entrepreneur, and storyteller, but for also being an amazing family man. Dear Kobe, thank you for being the best husband and father you could possibly be. Thank you for growing and learning from your own mistakes. Thank you for always trying to be better. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for all of your hard work. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our daughters, Natalia, Gianna, Bianca, and Capri. Thank you for working so tirelessly to provide for us and for giving us the most amazing life together. Thank you for waking up at 4 a.m. to train, for making it home to kiss me good morning, and for dropping our girls off at school, only to go to practice, come home, and pick up our girls from school whenever you could. Thank you for never missing a birthday, a dance recital, a school award show, show and tell, or any games our daughters played in if your schedule permitted. Thank you for putting your love for our family first. Thank you for bringing so much joy to our lives and joy to the people around the world. Thank you for inspiring us to be better than we were the day before. Thank you for teaching me and all of us to put someone else's joy before our own. Thank you for being so selfless and loving with a heart of gold. Thank you for never taking yourself too seriously. Thank you for your sense of humor. Thank you for your wit. Thank you for never telling me no and always letting me have my way most of the time. Thank you for being patient and easygoing. Thank you for letting me burst your bubble every chance I got. Thank you for graciously taking all my harsh comebacks. Thank you for dishing them back. Thank you for being the Mickey to my Minnie and the Noah to my Allie. Thank you for loving me enough to last lifetimes. In every lifetime, I choose you. To our girls, Natalia and Gianna, thank you for sacrificing so much time away from Daddy so that he could focus on being the best at everything he set his mind to do. Bianca and Capri, I'm so happy you're here to see this tonight. Daddy was incredible. He loves you girls so very much. Congratulations, baby. All of your hard work and sacrifices paid off. You once told me, if you're going to bet on someone, bet on yourself. I'm glad you bet on yourself, you overachiever. You did it. You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe Bean Bryant.
I got chills when I watched it, man.
Man, it's good stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty incredible. So,
props as well to Vanessa Bryant for allowing daughter Natalia to miss the induction so she could go to her senior prom. She was there on Friday night.
Tough scheduling, yeah.
I love, but she sent her home to go to the prom, And she said, apparently she said it on her Instagram post, that Kobe and Vanessa were engaged when she was a senior in high school. He had a playoff game the night of the prom. And when we heard that Natalia's prom night and Kobe's Hall of Fame night were on the same night, Vanessa looked at Natalia and said, well, if it's any consolation, Daddy kept me from going to my prom. So it's only right that he tried to keep you from going to yours.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. It was very powerful. KG's speech was good. Duncan's was good. It was a good night. But
how about Jordan? Did Jordan?
It was not what I expected. He was there for the intro, and he like escorted Vanessa up.
Okay, so he presented her.
He presented her.
Got it.
Exactly. And he stood right there by her, and she addressed him multiple times during the speech. But I was under the impression also that he was going to be doing a speech about Kobe Bryant, but he was just there to just be there for Vanessa.
Gotcha.
Which was a very powerful image, like with him. He was standing like right off her back shoulder during the whole thing. But it was, but yeah, I thought he was going to speak, but he did not. But it was a good night. You should seek out the full thing.
I will do so.
It was worth the 15 minutes or so. Going to be an interesting series and night at Wrigley Field, and we get to know a new Chicago Bear. It's coming up on The Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.